Hey, what's up, everyone? It is Sunday night, June 23rd, 2019. Welcome to your WWE Stomping Grounds pay-per-view recap. I am the perfect one, Don Tony, and join along with me as always.
50% right, Kevin Castle.
You know, I tell you, man, this was a creepy one. And, you know, when I did Breakfast with Blasi and I did my predictions, I had mentioned to everybody that, you know, what I'm going to do for this pay-per-view is not go with what I feel should happen, but what I thought was going to happen. Right. And lo and behold, not only do I go a perfect 9 for 9 on predictions, but I got the little icing on the cake because I wrote tonight early the idea that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are going to close out the pay-per-view, holding their arms up high in the ring, was going to make me want to take a shit. And lo and behold, not only do we get that, but on Wednesday I made a little joke. Something I have not heard any announcer say, something I haven't heard anybody say, and I was spoofing William Regal, and I was doing my rendition of Man's Man in tribute to Seth Rollins. I now call him the Man's Man, and what do we have Renee Young say at the very end? It's the Man's Man. He's the Man's Man. Could it get any better? 9 for 9, predicting every little fart. Does that make me good, or does it make the WWE so goddamn predictable?
Well, what'd you get wrong?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you. Oh, 9 for 9. Oh,
no, 9 for 9. The only thing that, you know, we really didn't discuss much was the referee, and it was just so many rumors out there, and just I didn't like the idea of Brock Lesnar, you know, being a referee, which a lot of people thought. I even joked. I said, you know, it'd be interesting if Baron Corbin trolled everybody and he refereed his own match, but you know, there's only so much you could do with that, and I don't know if Baron Corbin could really multitask that well. You know, it's. But I tell you, man, you do not ever. Let me say this, and then I'll give you the floor. Mm-hmm. Let me explain why I said tonight that Baron Corbin is the white Mabel when it comes to main events. He's the white Mabel. For younger fans out there that did not experience Mabel as the King of the Ring and Mabel going against The Undertaker and Mabel getting, it's nothing against him personally. It's nothing to do with the fact he was black. He was not a fucking main eventer. And tonight, WWE proved one thing about Baron Corbin. All right, and everybody that hears this, I honestly don't think anybody is going to disagree with me. Even my biggest haters will not disagree. When they made Baron Corbin the GM for Raw, and we had the lowest ratings of all time, when we had Baron Corbin the GM for Raw, and fans were chanting in unison how much it sucked, how much it was boring of him doing that. When you had Baron Corbin in main events on Raw, and it sucked, and everybody thought it was boring, and now you decide you're going to put Baron Corbin in a main event of a pay-per-view, whether Lacey Evans is the referee or not, and you have fans chanting, boring, this is stupid. Remember, didn't Seth Rollins get a boring chant in a match last year where he said, hey, everyone, you know what? I got to own up to it. It was my fault and this and that. I can't blame Seth Rollins this time around. Baron Corbin as the GM, Baron Corbin as a main event on Raw, Baron Corbin now as a main event on a pay-per-view has led to nothing but this is stupid, boring, this match sucks chants. I'm just a little disappointed that Tacoma, even though I requested it online, they didn't start an AEW chant during. That's what they have to start doing, fans. As much as I say, look, wait until AEW launches, see what they actually do. You know, you want to see the product. You don't want to say that the food is great before you sample it or before anyone else samples it. We got an early taste of AEW, and so far, so good. But I think the only way you're going to get on the WWE skin is when you are really annoyed at what you're watching on TV and you're live in the crowd, you have to start chanting AEW. That's the only thing that's going to get them butt hurt right now. CM Punk chants don't do it anymore. CM Punk has been gone for a while now. This match sucks. This is boring. It doesn't faze them. The only thing that I think will faze them right now is if fans start chanting AEW. What did you think of this main event and the bullshit that they gave everybody?
Well, the main, you want to just start from the main
event? Yeah, just go for it. Let's just talk about the main event first, and then we could get into all the other matches.
I didn't see, if you mentioned it, I didn't catch it, and if you did, I'll give you credit for it. The Lacey Evans thing, I didn't see coming. That was a surprise to me.
Do a Google image search for referee stomping grounds, and you'll see a lot of websites had a picture of Lacey Evans smack in the middle. You either saw Lacey Evans or you saw Brock Lesnar. A lot of people were talking about the idea that, hey, Lacey Evans, you know, might be the special guest referee so Becky could get involved. I mean, a lot of people actually thought that was going to happen. I'm not saying that I was the only person, but that's the reason why I did not choose that as a bonus question in a pay-per-view predictions contest. I didn't want to have that as, hey, guess the special guest referee, because there was a lot of talk out there that Lacey Evans would in fact be the special guest referee. I know on paper they probably thought it was a wonderful idea. Seth Rollins can't lay his hands on a woman. Seth Rollins would never lay his hands on a woman. And she is the ultimate enemy of Becky Lynch. And how do you screw over Becky Lynch? You screw over her boyfriend. So on paper, it's not a bad idea. The problem is, you got fucking Baron Corbin in the main event, and you have yet to have a main event with Baron Corbin, Raw, with SmackDown pay-per-view, where it's tolerable. This is just absolute garbage. I don't know why they insist that he actually could even pass for that. You want to put him early on the show, fine. I don't care about that. But to fucking have him close out a fucking pay-per-view, I mean, this was just god-awful.
The main event, yeah. I mean, we'll review the pay-per-view before that, which I thought was pretty good. But the main event, him in the main event was a fail before it even happened. Now I can see it. Extreme Rules, him and Lacey Evans teaming up to go against these two as a power couple. You don't see that? You don't think so?
I don't know if they really want to do intergender matches unless they do it like a mixed match challenge. I don't even know if it would wait until then. I mean, they could possibly tease that sooner. But, you know, you can't have the men lay their hands on the woman, which I've been pointing out for a couple of years now, and people that's been following me knows I've been saying this probably about 50 times. You know, notice how women have the upper hand against referees, against the men. I mean, the pinnacle of that was fucking Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey fucking beating up cops, referees, wrestlers. I mean, it's so one-sided. And this was just god awful.
Well, I guess they can have a mixed match challenge. I mean, that's to be determined. I'm just assuming they're going to team up for the next pay-per-view with Extreme Rules, because they're not going to put that garbage at SummerSlam. So they'll do it as a throwaway in Extreme Rules just to have Becky and her boyfriend team up. I mean, no time like the present, right, TT? They're obviously going to push this agenda of this power couple thing. I hate it. You called it, DT. I didn't think this was actually going to happen, but they walked off together into the sunset to close out the pay-per-view. So you were correct. And this is probably just the beginning of this power couple bullshit. DT, it's to offset that, maybe to just get more interest because people like a good couple and it's a nice story.
We talked about it on Monday.
No, I know, but I'm saying, do you think they think this is going to help the situation, help ratings, help draw attention to the product because it's a couple thing and it'll draw more news item stories about these two in real life are together and they're both top superstars in the company? Kind of a Nikki Bella thing, even though Nikki Bella was never as big as Becky Lynch is. But yeah, Baron Corbin in the pay-per-view, I thought for a fleeting second he was going to win the title on that close three count. And then I'm like, nah, they can't give him the belt. That's just too much. And again, from the presentation, the wearing the shirt and the pants and the ring, I know you talked about that. His overall presentation is not a main eventer. And to close out the night, I would have liked to have seen Kofi and Dolph Ziggler close out the night, especially with the ending that they had with Kofi diving out. I thought that should have closed the show in hindsight. But obviously this was meant to just show the power couple walking off together. And this is the beginning of how they're probably, maybe they'll kick off the show tomorrow night, Raw, these two coming out. You know, this might be a regular thing now, DT. I don't like it.
It's, look, I have criticized this for weeks now, and tonight was just...
Came to fruition.
Yeah, it came to fruition, and it's just... You know, like I said this also earlier, for the live crowd, it's fun. Yeah. I mean, live crowd, of course. The fans over there, it's fun. If I was at that live crowd, I probably, you know, I don't know if I would actually say it out loud. I'd look pretty ridiculous, but I'd be like, okay, you know, let's a little entertainment. Have Becky come out, beat the fuck out of Lacey Evans. Everybody goes home happy. That's fine. But unfortunately, for everyone else watching, you know, we don't want fucking soap opera shit like this. And I understand wrestling is supposed to be, well, they used to say male soap opera. You can't say that anymore. But it's just, there's nothing. See, when you had Edge back in the day as the ultimate opportunist, when you had other wrestlers being trolls and taking shortcuts and doing a lot of things they weren't supposed to, you know, you've had matches where a referee will, oh, well, Shane did that in the past, and you had others. Oh, this match will now be no DQ. Oh, this match will now be a handicap match. Oh, now this match will be false count anywhere. And you change the rules during a match. That's happened dozens of times over the years. The difference is that usually the person who's involved in a match that is the heel is a bona fide star. Baron Corbin has never been to the top as a bona fide star. And you can't keep forcing someone to be a bona fide star when they're not a bona fide star. I don't care if he owns a Ferrari. I don't care if he owns watches. I don't care if he owns nice clothes. I don't care if he's got the coolest tattoos around. I don't care if he's getting laid every night with a different person every night. I don't care what he's doing with that. The bottom line is that Baron Corbin has never gotten to the status of being a bona fide star to be a main eventer on a pay-per-view, to be the GM for Raw, to be on main events on TV over and over and over again. This is, it's nothing personal against the guy. I mean, for some reason, everybody that fucks with him, you know, oh, you're just jealous. Oh, WWE. No, it's not. There is nothing about Baron Corbin that has proven that he should be in this position with high profile stuff. Every time it's happened, you have been brought with negative chance. There is a difference between someone getting heel heat from the crowd, and there's a difference where people are telling you, this is awful, this sucks, this is boring. You don't ever want your fans do that. You don't ever want your fans. You're sleeping with your fucking significant other in the bedroom, and you're just fucking around, and you're teasing this and that. Okay, you want it to last longer. You don't want it to come yet, and this and that. And then you fucking wait 20 minutes, and then she turns around and says to you, oh, this is boring. I mean, what are you supposed to say? Oh, no, this is exactly what I want. No, because when we get to that point, oh, my God, the climax is going to be unbelievable. No, if it's boring, you're fucking going to leave the room and be embarrassed as fuck.
Exactly. I mean, again, you know, this was all to close it out the night the way it was, them walking off hand in hand together. Baron Corbin was just a means to an end to show this power coupling thing. He was the best victim, DT. Who else could they have victimized like this? You know, when you think about it, Baron Corbin was expendable, you know, and so was Lacey Evans when you think about it.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of times they want to do storylines or match ideas. And unfortunately, if you don't have the right people to play those roles, you have to let it go and wait for a better time. And this is proving right now that Seth Rollins, I played it on a history show this week. I played a promo of Paul Heyman from 2015. I mentioned it briefly, I think, on Tuesday. But, you know, it's a promo with him and Brock Lesnar in the ring, and they're cutting a promo on Seth Rollins. And if you just take away the references of the Authority, you could play that promo live on Monday, and you would not be able to tell the difference. All right. With the exception of Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins has nothing right now. He has nothing. I mean, you look at all of the championship reigns. Daniel Bryan gets 2% of the vote as far as your favorite champion right now. It's not just because he's a heel. Finn Balor, one of the most popular people on the roster, there's no momentum with his title at all. We'll talk about Dirty Sanchez a little bit later on because he got the title tonight, and I'm very, very happy that he did. Of all the people who won tonight, the one person that I said on the Predictions Wednesday that I wanted to see get it more than anyone, it was Ricochet.
No.
You know, so I guess we can get into, you know, I guess we could do it in order. Sure. Because trust me, everyone, I want everyone to understand this right off the bat. Overall, when you hear our recap, you will find that the main event might be one of the only times that we had a problem with this pay-per-view tonight. This pay-per-view was not bad. I don't know if you feel the same way. I mean, you know.
No, I do. I said it on thing. I said if anybody's going to be honest tonight, it was looking, almost had a pre-agenda. I saw people pre-show before it even started. Some people we were in close with, some people not close with, some established podcasters saying, you know, well, I'm going to watch this. I prepare for a bashing WWE tonight. This is going to suck. I'm only watching it for you fans, and then I'll review it.
They had a right to do that. There was nothing exciting.
They have a right to do it, but nothing happened.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's exciting. Yeah. There was nothing exciting going into it, so I don't blame anybody who felt that way going into it. I had a lot of negative feelings going into it.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, no, but I'm saying then review it fairly once you see it.
Sure,
you know what I'm
saying? Of course. Yeah. You go in with low expectations, you come back with higher expectations, then you're very, you know, surprised and you're happy. But you know, when you also look at these matches tonight, you know, does a lot of them really stand out? And you know, look, a pay-per-view can be solid and could be very good, but if you don't have matches that are memorable, that a year from now, 2 years from now, that you're going to remember, oh yeah, remember that match? Oh yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have any of that, then it's not a spectacular pay-per-view. But you know, the opening match tonight, we had Kiro Tozawa versus Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese. Drew Gulak, you know, one that we've rooted for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
This match was excellent. I mean, you know what? Anybody out there could remember what I said on Wednesday. I said that I felt that Tozawa was put into that match so Gulak could get the win without pinning Nese. That's exactly what we got tonight. But their flurry of moves, it was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, even the strength of Tony Nese, which you got to see tonight. I mean, Tozawa, yeah, he's a cruiserweight, but that, you know, to pick him up with one arm, dead weight like that, it was phenomenal. But in the end, Drew Gulak hits the torture rack neck breaker onto Tozawa and pins Tozawa 1-2-3.
Yeah, it's good to. Would you say Gulak was due? DT, he's done a lot. You know, he's been from NXT. He's helping put over what's his name, the new guy from Japan. He's bouncing around from 205 to NXT lately, and he's definitely put in his time. They've tried tweak his character here and there a little bit. He's legit when it comes to wrestling. He's really good. He's underrated, if anything. And it was his time tonight. And you're right. And he got to do it without having to pin Nese.
See, the one thing with Drew Gulak, which is different from Dana Brooke and some of the others out there, is that Drew Gulak has busted his ass, but he has also shined in a lot of his matches, where a lot of people were saying, like, wow, I can't believe, you know, he hasn't gotten the title yet. I mean, with Dana Brooke and others, and I'm not trying to use Dana Brooke, I mean, just, you know, focus on her. I'm just using her as an example. You know, none of this, it's my time. You've done nothing on TV that would warrant you to become a champion. However, for Drew Gulak, a lot of people felt, you know what, this guy's championship material for 205 Live, and he has been bringing it on TV for a couple of years now, and I'm very happy that he got the belt.
Yeah, he's good. He knows how to get heat. He's a good villain. I think he's only going to get better in time. You know, like I said, they bounced him around here and there, tweaked his character here and there. I think it's his time. I think this is going to be a good year for him, and it'll only get better.
Yeah, absolutely. So congrats to Drew Gulak. Definitely one that you could say, you know, deserved it, I think.
Absolutely. I agree.
Next, we had Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans to open up the actual pay-per-view. Entertaining match. Yeah. Big Becky Lynch fans to open up the show. A little bit of criticism to Lacey Evans. Some you can't wrestle chants. I think it was just people trying to troll because she actually does know how to wrestle. She's not bad. She does, yeah. Still trying to find her way. The match, you know, it just seemed to drag at times. And if anybody didn't notice closely, Becky Lynch really helping Lacey Evans through the match in some areas. And I'll give you an example that people could go right back and look at it.
Yeah, you noticed that too? Yeah, it did appear that way.
What'd you see?
No, I'm so good. Tell me what you think.
Well, I'll give everybody an example. Towards the end of the match, Becky Lynch took a shot, and it was nowhere near her face, and she held her jaw. And right. I looked at that.
She sold it.
No, it wasn't that. She held the jaw, and I looked at it, and I said, why is she holding the jaw? She didn't get hit in the mouth. But then the next move immediately after was Lacey Evans nailing her in the jaw. And then I said, oh, okay, you know, now I could see a couple other things that happened earlier. Becky was actually doing little signs to her body to basically give a little hint to Lacey.
Indications.
Yeah, like nail me here, like push yourself up and, you know, knock me in the mouth and this and that. And you know what? It wasn't a bad match. It really wasn't. But, you know, early on, you could see where it started to go with the Seth Rollins thing because, you know, they kept going out of their way to bring up the fact that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are an item.
Yeah, do you think Lacey was a little rattled or frazzled during the match? She looked that way? She looked a little not as on point as she should have?
I think she is still finding her way, and she was thrust into high-profile pay-per-view matches. I'm not saying she's not ready for it, but I think she's still trying to find her way. And, you know, it's just... She's got a little history with Becky, but not a lot. And plus, Becky being the most popular woman on the roster right now, and someone who has not been in the limelight for long on TV, you know, for the most part, they just hit her music. She'd come out, she'd walk down to the ring, look at everybody, and walk back. And people would be like, okay, this feels like Emma. You know, so she's bringing it in the ring, but unfortunately, the fans are not receptive of her yet. And, you know, it's just she definitely deserves a shitload more time.
I agree. Yeah.
So next we had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus New Day. And you know what? I think I was thinking about this tonight. You don't have to do this, but I was thinking of an idea. Mm-hmm. I know some people have done this in the past, but you know, they'll start out with a pay-per-view and they'll start 10 out of 10. And what they'll do is during some matches, they'll deduct a point or two because of either a bad match or something really, really stupid. And they'll, you know, deduct and add points as they go along. And then at the end of the night, whatever they have out of 10, that's how they rate the pay-per-view. So far, you know, if you go 10 out of 10, Tozawa versus Gulak versus Nice is arguably, you know, one of the top matches of the entire night. So I give a plus one to Tozawa, Gulak, and Nice. So now I'm at 11. Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans, I got pretty much what I expected, so I'm still at 11. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus New Day, I drop it 2 points. Right off the bat, because what I saw early in the match, yeah, I wrote online that you either have to be under 8 years old, a robot, on life support, drunk, or on massive drugs to suspend that much disbelief. We're watching entertainment. You know, I laugh at people that say that WWE is entertainment, but AEW is wrestling. No, it's every fucking fed. Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, TNA, Impact Wrestling, AEW, NJPW, any fucking MLW. If the outcome is predetermined, you are a form of entertainment. So, but you have to have a suspension of disbelief. You have to suspend disbelief for a certain amount of time that what you're watching in the ring is real, that there's legit animosity between one person and another, whatever the situation is. And you have to also have a suspension of disbelief that when someone gets nailed with an unbelievable shot, they're done. When someone is fighting and scratching for every, you know, just ounce of their body to try to keep going, which was proven in a Roman Reigns match, which was good. I will get to that later. You know, then that's suspension of disbelief as well. But in the beginning of the match, we had to Xavier Woods in 1 minute, the first minute of the match, he got hit with three super kicks, a frog splash, a senton, a thunder bomb, and he kicked out every single time. Think about that. Three super kicks, two frog splashes, a senton, and a blue thunder bomb. And he kicks out of all of them. That is just garbage, in my opinion. Did the match end up being entertaining? Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Xavier Woods ain't fucking Michael Myers, and Xavier Woods is not fucking, you know, he's not in that position to be.
He's not a top guy. Yeah, he's not a top guy, you know, to take those moves and kick out like that.
That was god awful. I mean, just think of the moves that he took and kicked out at. What the fuck? I mean, at least have. I know they were playing off that Big E couldn't, you know, wasn't involved early in the match, but, you know, that's where you turn around and say, okay, Big E's got to stop the count or he's got to break up the two count. You can't have someone in that stature, no matter how popular he is, to take three super kicks, two frog splashes, a fucking senton, and a blue thunder bomb and kick out of that. I watched that. I'm like, you know, I can't suspend disbelief of that. That was god awful.
No, but exactly. Indeed, that's the point. Like an Xavier Woods type. Again, even top guys don't kick out of stuff like that in main events for the world title. They do in this company, but and in AEW too. But a guy on that level for a match like that to kick out of those major moves, yeah, it's not good.
If you want to kick out of those moves throughout a 5-10 minute match, I'm fine with that. But he kicked out of all of that within the first minute of the match. I mean,
no, agreed. And it's Xavier Woods. I mean, it's Xavier Woods. It's not, you know, a major player guy here. So if he can do that, can anybody kick out of those moves then, do you think?
You know, when you shoot Michael Myers once, you know, he falls down and he gets up methodically, almost like The Undertaker when he used to get knocked down. You know, you fucking shoot him twice. Okay, you know, he falls back twice and then he falls on the floor and he gets up. You fucking bang Michael Myers out 8 times all at the fucking same time and he goes down. He ain't fucking getting up.
Yeah.
It was just horrendous. But, you know, we had an entertaining match after that. If you could get past that.
And by the way, the crowd was into it.
Crowd was in, yeah, it was yeah, an entertaining
crowd,
match.
Yeah, crowd was into it.
Early on, it sucked, but towards the end, it became very entertaining. Match ended. Big E had hit a huge clothesline. Kevin Owens hit with a kick, and then rolling elbow by Woods. Everybody's knocked out. Big E, you know, ends up spearing Sami Zayn to the outside, but KO ends up hitting Xavier Woods with a stunner. You know, he can't kick out to those fucking 6 moves in the beginning, but, you know, he can't kick out to one stunner. One, two,
that's three. That's a Steve Austin move. You can't kick out of that.
Well, you know, Cena used to do it as mid-match, and Austin had something to say about that.
That's true, but that's Cena, once again. Xavier Woods, John Cena.
Yeah, that's true. But next we have Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in the back. I don't really fucking care. Next we had Dirty Sanchez versus Samoa Joe. Early on, you know why I'm saying that, right?
Yes, I know.
I discussed it on one. Never in a million years did I ever think that my pay-per-view prediction could possibly be influenced if a wrestler has videotaped himself fingering his ass.
No, good Lord.
I mean, but in the end, I predicted Ricochet. I wanted Ricochet to win. I know he's an up-and-comer. I still, as I'm watching the match, and I felt my prediction happening, I think of all of those people 1 month ago that were ripping the shit out of, WWE, they're mishandling Ricochet, he's losing all these matches. And I pointed out to everyone the 50-50 booking. You know, he was like 2-3 at the time. And I said, hey, he's feuding with Cesaro. Don't worry, everyone. Follow the pattern. He's going to win the following week. And sure enough, he won. And then he won again. And then he won again. And now he is the United States champion.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was going to win it, not because of the video. I just look, Samoa Joe, I guess, is just there to put people over. He's never going to win the big one. U.S. title is going to be as good as it gets for Samoa Joe. Because the story, obviously, is Ricochet winning his first major title. Well, you know, singles title. But I think the story is also, DT, was Samoa Joe just there as enhancement for people now, especially new stars?
No, I think Samoa Joe gets his moments without a doubt. I mean, he owned Ali pretty good for a while and never got his comeuppance. I think a lot of people feel that way because of his feud with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
You know, AJ Styles, for people that may not remember, you know, a lot of fans felt like, okay, AJ Styles, you know, he's had the title for a while. It's time for maybe a little change and a lot of people wanted to see it be Samoa Joe, especially, you know, what's his wife's name? Wendy. Oh, Wendy. Yeah. And then that led to nothing. Yeah. And you just felt that that was where they were going with it. I don't think Samoa Joe loses any credibility right now. I don't feel that he is buried, a little bit misused, absolutely. But Samoa Joe is needed to help bring some wrestlers to the next level. And having Samoa Joe give a little rub to Ricochet, and AJ Styles is going to give a little rub tomorrow night as well, which we'll get into in a little bit.
What's giving Ricochet a little rub?
You know, I wanted to say something else, but I couldn't put my finger on what I wanted to say. You know, I couldn't put my finger on it.
You think he'll try to fit the belt up his ass?
You know, that doesn't pass the smell test with me, to be honest with you. But
Lord.
You know, look, at some points during the match, it was a little bit sloppy. I mean, there was one move that Ricochet, like, just totally no-sold that towards the end, and they were like, oh, he blocked it with his leg. I'm like, no, it was just botched. But you know what? The match was decent. Ricochet hits the 630 for the 1-2-3. He's now the U.S. champion. Interesting, after they showed Ricochet going to the back, a little reminiscent of some of the things you see in the WWE 24, like the, you know, the backstage curtain after somebody wins a big one, and he hugs Triple H, and you have some wrestlers in the back, Heavy Machinery, Seth Rollins, and a few others. But Charlotte also shown back there as well, clapping.
She didn't hug him, though. He like went in for a lean hug with two of the girls. One was Charlotte. Who's the other girl that he lean hugged? But she didn't like kind of give
Carmella,
it back to
I think
him.
It was.
Yeah, it was Carmella. Yeah,
but you know, really give you know what? They were dressed nice, especially Charlotte. Why would I want some sweaty wrestler? You know what I mean? Unless it's my own boyfriend. Yeah. Why would I want Ricochet sweat all over me? You know, let alone, you know, like hugging me and touching me in the back with your hands. You know, we don't know if he washed his hands after he fucking went to the bathroom. You ever see the sign in the bathroom? You know, not just employees. I can never understand that. How come you go to a restaurant and says employees must wash hands after fucking doing what you're doing? How's about everybody must wash their hands?
That's a good one. I like that. I think we'll change that in the club. Everyone must wash hands.
Just think about that. And, you know, for people out there that think that I'm way off on that, I'll give you an idea I just thought about right now. Let's say you're Ricochet. All right? And let's say the rumors of the video are true. And let's say Ricochet has a little bit of an infatuation with sticking his finger up his ass. Now, he goes into the bathroom, he goes in the stall, and he just figures, you know what, I'm taking a leak. You know, why not? You know, I'll just have a little bit of excitement here. And he sticks his finger up his ass. And after he's done and he flushes the fucking toilet, and he goes to, you know, to look in the mirror to, you know, check his face. Can't check his hair because he didn't have any. And there's a big sign that says employees must wash hands after, you know, whatever. And then he looks at it and he says, oh, I'm not an employee. And he leaves. Now, he goes back to his table and you say to yourself, yeah, but you know what? Only employees must wash their hands. What fucking happens when fucking Samantha, the waitress Samantha, goes and gives him the check? And then he fucking, you know, gives her the credit card with his fucking hands that weren't washed in the bathroom because only employees have to wash their hands before leaving. And he fucking holds the credit card, holds the check. check, fucking get, takes money out of his wallet, and he's got a dirty Sanchez the whole time.
Everybody, and she runs the car through the machine. Now the machine is completely tainted.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Man. And not only that, you know, even if he didn't have a credit card, he just put cash in there. He fucking closes the fucking leather, you know, thing, the wallet that holds the thing. So what happens? She goes and she gives it to somebody else later on. Ricochet leaves. Fucking Joe Polak comes in to have dinner. And then what happens? She fucking gives the next person a check. And what is it? It's the leather fucking wallet with a different bill in there. And fucking the leather wallet was touched by fucking Ricochet, who had the dirty Sanchez.
So he just caused a complete outbreak in the whole
diner. Yeah, and then that motherfucker doesn't wash his hands. And then he leaves the restaurant and he gets into his car and drives home, and maybe he went out to dinner with his fucking family, and then he goes in the house, he still didn't wash his hands, he doesn't even realize that he held a fucking wallet from a restaurant that had Ricochet's fucking dirty Sanchez on it, and then he says, honey, I'm gonna tuck the kids in for bed, and he fucking gives his fucking 2-year-old a nice little hug, and he fucking like smooths back her hair because it's a little bit messed up, but meanwhile this guy still didn't fucking wash his hands, and then he don't even realize he fucking, you know, handled the wallet earlier with fucking Ricochet's dirty Sanchez on it. And that little kid goes to sleep, and the little fucking kid, you know what babies do, they roll in front, they sleep on their face against the bed, and now you got Ricochet's dirty Sanchez all over the little kid's face. And then what happens? The little kid goes to preschool the next day. The little kid was late. The mother didn't have time to fucking bathe the kid, so the kid's at the fucking camp and the fucking kid, and it's just a never-ending thing. And the next thing you know, there's a whole outbreak simply because Ricochet didn't wash his hands.
Oh, my God. Oh. That's an epic rant. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, this is why everyone must wash hands when they're in the restaurants.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, you know what? Like I said, I like Ricochet. I don't care if he sticks his finger in his ass or not. I honestly, look, you know... Look, you know what made me laugh? What made me laugh is my whole rant that I did Wednesday was just to make people laugh. I fucking wanted him to win it. But the thing is that I had a couple of morons on YouTube talking about, like, you know, not for nothing, everyone, not for nothing, DT, but it's not gay. It's not gay. He's not gay because he sticks his finger up his ass. And I went back and I said, wait a minute. I never said gay at all in the entire rant that I said.
Who said gay?
What does putting someone's finger in one's own ass has to do with being gay?
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with that. So it's just, you know, for anyone out there that, you know, saw that reference, you know, from others out there, just think it out for a minute. Ignorant. But so next we have Daniel Bryan. You know, it's just...
And Rowan.
He lives 75 miles from Tacoma. He's from Aberdeen.
And he got a reaction.
75 miles from Tacoma. You know the guy's going to get a babyface reaction. You think that they would have him cut a promo or diss the crowd earlier in the night or something. And maybe he did. I don't know. But they were the clear-cut babyfaces today. You know, Otis... You know, that guy's, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a main event star ever, but that guy's got something. He's good. Will Otis, I think Otis down the line, nothing against Tucker, but I think Otis is destined to be a single star.
I think so, too. I think Tucker will be in a lot of trouble if Otis goes out on his own, but Otis is showing a lot of personality. And just, he knows how to sell. He knows how to get the crowd back into it. Tucker is kind of just there, to be honest with you, DT. I think Tucker kind of holds the team back.
Yeah, J.R. Adams, he's a little short. So what?
So what? Crusher Blackwell. Crusher Blackwell is still a star.
Excellent, 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 excellent example. I mean, there are wrestlers in the past that were shorter and stocky, but he is solid. And, you know, solid as far as body shape and solid in the ring. And, you know, he held his own. And trust me, I don't want to say that Heavy Machinery got rattled tonight. I have a feeling they expected the crowd to be a little bit more supportive of Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. But, you know, it's... it was what it was. It was an entertaining match. The crowd made it entertaining with some of their chants. They were chanting, please recycle, and a few other things. Otis kind of doing a little bit of the hulking up to the yes kicks.
Yeah.
You know, even though
he took a lot of them. He took a lot of them.
Yeah, even though the crowd was booing.
Yeah, they were.
You know what? Even though the live crowd was booing, that's like the reverse of what we saw in the main event. The live crowd enjoyed the Becky interaction. I don't know if people at home enjoyed it all that much, unless you're a big Becky fan. If you're a big Becky fan and you went, you were done with the pay-per-view, happy. But Otis, I think the live crowd wasn't as happy about it because their hometown hero, near hometown hero, was battling. But I think everybody at home should have been impressed with Otis. Again, nothing against Tucker, but, you know, sadly, Tucker just doesn't stand out right now, in my opinion. No. I'm not saying that he needs to start doing the worm and all this shit, but, you know, it was a decent match. In the end, Tucker goes, climbs the top rope. Daniel Bryan is the legal man in the ring. For some reason, Tucker doesn't capitalize on Daniel Bryan. He decides to jump outside the ring to splash onto Eric Rowan. After that, you know, he decides, oh, let me go into the ring now. And he rolls back in the ring and ends up getting rolled up. And Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan retain the titles.
Did Tucker's foot hit Daniel Bryan in the head? Did you see that when he did the moonsault?
He did the moonsault and his legs connected. I didn't notice if it hit him in the head, but it definitely connected. Daniel Bryan, you know, he reacted like he was pretty good after. I mean, maybe that's the reason why they went with Tucker splashing Rowan out to the ring just to give it a little extra time. Yeah. And who knows? I think the roll-up was the planned finish because it just seemed to fit everything. I don't think it was impromptu. But, you know, he seemed like he was fine after.
Heavy Machinery did a good job. Listen, they weren't the top team in NXT, so I don't think anybody should be surprised that they got to kind of sow their oats a little bit here in the bigs and get some more wins under that belt before they can pin a guy like Daniel Bryan. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's their first title match on the main roster. I think they did fine. They'll build on that, and hopefully WWE, let me put it this way, AOP, you felt like something was missing, whether it was, you know, their manager going back to Florida, you know, we don't know. With the Viking Warriors, Raiders, fucking whatever they're called, I mean, I said it the first week, everyone, you got the fucking name change, but you know what? I'd rather see them have a better push than a different name. I said that week, and we got nothing from them. Now they're making them these huge heels. The Viking Raiders are not connecting with me. However, Heavy Machinery are. I think Heavy Machinery, out of all of the up and coming tag teams that were brought to the main roster from NXT, look at Sanity, done. AOP can't find, you know, their way back. You know, Enzo and Kaz fired. You know, the Viking Raiders can't get momentum. Heavy Machinery seems like they got some nice momentum right now.
I agree.
So, next we had Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. I think everybody and their mother figured that there'd be a little bit of interference from Nikki Cross. Some people thought that Nikki Cross was going to help Alexa Bliss win. I felt, and I said on Wednesday, that I thought Nikki Cross was going to try to interfere and it was going to backfire and cause Bayley to get the abrupt win. Look, I'll say this. When you watch there, you know how before a match we get the vignette, the package, you know, hyping up the match and everything that leads up to it that makes you supposedly want to watch the match. When you see that pay-per-view package for Bayley and Alexa Bliss, 90% of the package is their promo exchange last week on TV. When 90% of your pay-per-view package is the promo from last week, tells you that they have fucking nothing else. No. They had nothing else. The match just really dragged at times. You know, Alexa Bliss did more than I thought that she would. We had a little bit of confusion outside the ring, deliberate confusion. Bayley goes to dive outside the ring. It looked like that Alexa and Nikki were going to be the victims of it. Alexa pushes Nikki into harm's way, and Nikki Cross is the one that gets the spear dive, whatever you want to call it, from Bayley. And then at the very end, Nikki Cross is pissed off. She tries to enter the ring. Referee removes her. Alexa Bliss gets distracted. Bayley hits the her finisher to Bayley the back for the 1-2-3.
Yeah, it was an okay match. I thought Alexa was not too bad in the ring. The Nikki affiliation, I don't really like it. Doesn't really do anything for Nikki at all. It was a bizarre way she interfered in the match. Bayley finally gets a win as champion. I thought I picked Alexa to win, honestly. But I'm not really liking Becky's run here as the world champion.
Bayley.
Bayley. Excuse me. Bayley's run. I wanted Alexa to win. I just thought it would be, you know, something. If the title was going to change hands, I thought it should change hands in that match. But obviously, they have other plans. Do you think this now continues this feud? Is now Nikki get a shot at Bayley next? Or you think this feud continues, DT? And then Alexa eventually gets the belt.
I see Alexa Bliss reading the Riot Act to Nikki Cross tomorrow.
Yeah, they didn't do anything tonight.
Will they split immediately? I don't know, but maybe Nikki will have to prove herself, you know, prove her worth for what happened tonight. And this is just to buy more time for Bayley being champion. But you know what? Everyone needs to remember, Bayley is the SmackDown's women's champion. Right. Alexa Bliss, if I'm correct, is on Raw. So there's no reason why this feud should continue unless the wild card rule just means that anybody could challenge for a title on any brand. You know, look, they could show up on respective brands, but can they keep challenging for titles on different brands? You know, that's something that they never really clarified all that much. But I think we're going to have Alexa Reed in the Riot Act for Nikki Cross. And then we'll see where it goes. Yeah, I don't like the pairing either, but this is designed to try to give sympathy to Nikki Cross by the fans that she's naive and she's being taken advantage of. And everybody could see that except for Nikki Cross.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Nikki can get anything out of this other than just be a lackey. And then I don't know what happens to Nikki Cross after that because they took our whole crazy girl personality away from her and normalized her.
She'll flip out and get revenge on Alexa Bliss.
Well, yeah, that can happen too. She can always go back to being a psycho.
Yeah. Ben pointed this out. I don't know if there was any, you know, ill effects from it, but it did look kind of, I don't want to say scary, but it looked a little concerning. There was one point where Bayley snapped Alexa Bliss into the corner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alexa Bliss was supposed to fall backwards and her back, you know, was supposed to hit like the corner turnbuckle. But instead, it looked like the back of her head hit the turnbuckle and she got a little bit of, I don't know if you would call it whiplash, but she immediately rolled outside the ring. And I don't know if there was any ill effects from it, but I have a feeling that concerned a lot of people in the back, especially since she's coming off the issue with concussions.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the tiebreaker of, because for those who are part of the predictions contest on Patreon, I will have the tiebreaker of the match during the show. I mean, we'll look it up as we're discussing the pay-per-view. By the way, you know, I know a lot of you out there used a lot of my match predictions for your predictions. I don't know if anybody used every match prediction, but if you did, you probably ended up winning the contest tonight since I got everything correct. And I only said that again, not to piss off the haters, but just to actually buy 30 seconds of time so I could look it up. The match for Bayley versus Alexa Bliss, the unofficial time was 10 minutes, 35 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, yeah. That's it. Jeez.
Yeah. So we'll see later. I will start computing everybody's scores tonight, and we should have the announcement for the winner by Monday's DTKC show. After this match was over, they showed Ricochet in the back taking pictures, posing with the U.S. title. Gallows and Anderson interrupt him. You know, they want to take some pictures with Ricochet. Here comes AJ Styles congratulating Ricochet, and he said that he will see Ricochet tomorrow night. So on Raw, it looks like we will have AJ Styles versus Ricochet.
AJ turning heel again?
AJ Styles, for ever since the Seth Rollins feud, has been sort of competitive. I don't want to call him full-blown heel. I call him right now more of the competitive, you know, doing heelish things, but not necessarily full-blown heel. I mean, you know, I'll tell you right now, if there was ever a time to really make AJ Styles stand out as a heel, you do it against Ricochet, because it'll just build the momentum of the fans behind Ricochet.
That's true, yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see on Raw. Next, we had Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Roman Reigns getting a substantial amount of boos coming into the match.
In the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning. Roman Reigns, you know, did an awesome job, as did Drew McIntyre. You know, the beginning of the match was a little confusing because Roman Reigns did the top rope dive onto McIntyre to the outside, which was very impressive. And then Roman Reigns chases Shane McMahon through the crowd a little bit. You know, ultimately gets back, you know, to ringside, you know, gets nailed by Drew McIntyre. So Drew gets the upper hand. But, you know, I'm saying to myself, okay, you know, the referee, you know, the count, the 10 count was a little bit discombobulated. But one point during the match, we heard a chant that I thought they were saying, "This is awful," but they were chanting, "Shane is awful." Yeah. And I think the whole story of the match was two things. A lot of power moves. Drew climbing the top ropes. Roman Reigns going face first into the table. We even had one point where Shane McMahon broke up the three count, pulled the referee outside the ring, and at one point you thought, did this referee really fuck up his leg? Because
that's what I thought.
He was turning his leg, and it almost looked like Alexa Bliss, you know, when she's double jointed, she could turn her elbow a certain way. It looked like he really fucked himself, and then maybe he had a dislocated kneecap or something, but next thing you know, he was sort of moving around decent to the other side of the ring, but in the end, we had Roman Reigns hit the Superman punch, hit some spears, and got the pin. 1, 2, 3. It surprised a lot of people. A lot of people thought Drew McIntyre needed this win, but I just felt Shane McMahon's momentum needed a little bit of interruption. I thought Roman Reigns had to get this.
Yeah, I agree with you. First, when the match first started, Reigns got some boos. Match was kind of slow in the beginning, then picked up. Then the final quarter of it really picked up once Shane interfered, and then he got his revenge on Shane on the outside with a couple of punches. Then you thought Drew had it when he slammed him on the table, rolled him back in the ring. Then some, you know, false finishes there, really close three counts on both. And Roman eventually gets, and then the crowd popped for him. So they turned it around. I thought when Shane interfered and did the coast-to-coast, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Reigns is going to lose again. But you're right. And now I still believe that Shane is eventually going to be the champion, beat Kofi, and Reigns will get it from him. I think so. I think Shane is getting a title. I just see it.
A title, possibly, but that people writing that online, I'm like, what are you basing it on? I mean, you're basing it on fears. And you and I do opinion shows. So we have every right to throw ideas and opinions and reactions and stuff. I mean, that's what we
do. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong.
Right, yeah. And in this case tonight, I was right 100%. But but in the case of those websites, they're writing it as news. They're reporting it as news. You know, rumor has it, or it looks like very possible, and, you know, might be, and blah, 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 blah. No, you're fucking guessing. It's fear. It's not news. I mean, it's not news. So we'll see. I don't buy that.
Well, how do they get Reigns to the road to the title?
Well,
I mean, if Kofi doesn't lose to anybody, who's he going to lose to?
You eliminate the fact that, you know, he got a lot of boos tonight. Yes, we were in Tacoma and the crowd was a little bit more of going against the grain. But when you have the main event like we got tonight and doing what they're doing, WWE deserves fans to be going against the grain.
Right. The way they're booking Shane and all the airtime he's getting, it's got to be for more than just the Reigns feud.
I think this will happen. I think WWE took notice of so many people that were reporting that, and they also took notice at the plethora of people reacting to the idea of Shane McMahon beating Kofi. So WWE is without a doubt, if they were smart, they should capitalize on it and tease it on TV. This way you get all these fucking numbnuts out there, you know, who I call the young cucks. You get the young cucks out there that'll be like, see, I told you, see, we told you, we reported it, we told you, and then he doesn't get the title.
Right.
That's how you do it. You tease them so they think that they were right, but in the end, they weren't right. That's what I would do. Next, and I'm surprised, our recap, we're almost at an hour already.
I mean, we even started at 10:15.
Right? Yeah, we're almost in an hour. So we really only have about one match left, but Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler for the WWE Championship. You know, nice back and forth match.
Evenly matched. I'll say that much. They're evenly matched.
You know what? It was a nice back and forth. You know, you had your needed teases of climbing over the cage, escaping the door, two counts. In the end, you had Kofi Kingston just narrowly escaping the cage right behind Dolph Ziggler, who was also trying to escape. Kofi Kingston retains. You know, it ended up being the longest match of the night. It went 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any tease of a Big E turn. So, you know, I know a lot of people still want that, you know, still think it's necessary. Don't know yet, but I don't know if we get the trifecta of another pay-per-view with Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston.
I don't think, I think, look, he was beaten decisively tonight. I mean, that was a nice finish. I've never seen that. Someone dive over someone on the way out. I mean, Kofi could have broke his wrist. He could have hurt himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good fall guy. He's good. He knows how to take those falls. Anybody else could have fucked up a wrist, fucked up a knee, broke their teeth.
Yeah.
So that was a good way to end. I didn't see that coming. That was nice. I liked the finish of that match. I definitely liked it. And the look on Dolph Ziggler's face, like, I am such a fucking loser. He just, that scrunch face he does. But Kofi's win was original. Maybe someone else can point out in the chat, anybody else ever see that happen in a cage match? NW, I've never seen anybody leap over somebody like that. I've never seen that. That was pretty original. You ever see that, DT? I don't recall anybody doing that.
Nobody comes to mind. You know, the thing is that, you know, the reason why we probably have not seen that much in the past is because you have not seen too many championship matches involving two participants who are that small. So imagine a wrestler 220, 250 hopping over another wrestler who's 220 to 250.
Yeah, he break his arm.
You know, more like 250. You know, it's just, I don't even know if they would be able to squeeze through, you know, the certain
areas.
That's
true, yeah, that's true, because that had to be precision.
Yeah.
If he missed, he would have fell right on Ziggler.
Yep. So scientifically, I don't know how that could be. By the way, B. Molko, if you're listening to this on the download, I noticed you posted on Discord, how do I listen live? You know, every week when we do the live shows on Discord for patrons, we basically say, you know, sign up on Discord. You know, this is that. Don't wait until we start. And unfortunately, you know, you're asking while we're in the middle of the show, and we can't pause the show and then, you know, verify that you're on Patreon and add the role on Discord. You know, and that goes for anyone else out there. You know, now when you sign up on our Patreon, you should get immediate access to Discord. It should automatically give you that. But even if it don't, you just PM me on Patreon. I'll add the role. This way, when it comes time that even if you're not planning on going on Discord anytime soon, at least you know that you're set up. So when we do go live and maybe you're online for a little while and like, hey, I'm not doing nothing, let me check out these guys live. You know, you have the access already. But when you ask us when we already started the show, you know, unfortunately, there's nothing we could do right now. But contact me on Patreon, send me a PM, and I will be more than happy to add the role. This way, in the future, you could check out any of the live content on Discord. Yep. So, finally, we got the main event, which we already discussed. I don't think there's much more we can add to it. I just, overall, when I look at the pay-per-view now, I didn't add any or take away any points after I said it earlier because it's not something I have done on a repetitive basis yet. But when I look at the pay-per-view tonight and just looking at the matches overall, if I start with 10, I give one for the 205 Live, the Cruiserweight match, making that 11. I take off no points for the Becky-Lacey Evans match. I take 2 points off for the New Day, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match, so I'm left with 9. Ricochet versus Samoa Joe was good. It did what it needed to do, so I'll leave it at that, so we're at 9. Daniel Bryan, Eric Rowan versus Heavy Machinery was fine also, so I don't have to take any points with that off. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss, to me, fell flat for the most part. I'll take a point off of that. I'm with 8. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre was solid. You know, some of the referee stuff was a little bit sloppy, but it was a good match, so I'll leave that alone. No deducting of points. The cage match was fine, so there was no reason for me to take anything off there. The main event was, you know, it was awful. It was awful. You know what? Yeah. The Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, New Day match, because it ended up being very entertaining, I only take 1 point off instead of 2. So basically, I take 2 points off for the main event. 1, because of Baron Corbin. 2, because the whole Lacey Evans idea was just abysmal. And you could see a mile away, they want to focus on Becky and Seth, and they're going to be walking in the back and talking and having coffee. And this is not, I don't want, I have no interest. I don't give a shit about it. If I gave a shit about that, I would have talked about it while they were a couple for how many fucking months leading up to the last 2-3 weeks. It ain't like they just started dating 2 weeks ago, you know. Yeah. So, you know, you're a little late to the game with this WWE. But so I taking off 2 for the main event, I'm left with a 7. I think 7 out of 10 is very, very fair for this pay-per-view. None of the matches really, really stuck out. However, I will say, in hindsight, looking at this card up and down, my favorite match of the night was the Cruiserweight Championship match, Gulak, Nice, and Tozawa.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a 7, too. I just, as soon as you said that, I shook my head over here. I'm like, yeah, 7. I enjoyed it. It was better than I thought it would be. I mean, I rushed home. I was out at a show this afternoon in Brooklyn with a friend of mine. He wanted to watch pay-per-view, too. Of course, I had to review it. So I got home just in time to watch the first match with the Cruiserweights, just made it. And I'm like, shit, I hope I just bust my ass for nothing because we really raced home. And I was surprised, pleasantly surprised. And the crowd was into it, which makes me more into it. Even if I'm, you know, the crowd does, that live crowd does have an effect on you watching at home. I don't care what anybody says.
Sure.
It totally has an effect. So I was like, oh, this is cool. They're into it. And even if it's not a favorite wrestler of mine, one of my top 5 or whatever, I enjoyed it. I would give it a 7. My favorite, the Cruiserweight match was good. I agree with you, DT. But I enjoyed the Daniel Bryan match. I enjoyed the tag match with Bryan and Rowan with Heavy Machinery. I also, I would say Kofi, Dolph Ziggler. I was kind of saying, bathroom break, Dolph Ziggler, but I sat and watched it. I was mostly kidding. And then I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the finish of that match. Worst was the main event. I agree with you. I don't like this coupling thing. I have a feeling they're going to open up the show tomorrow hand in hand in the ring. I could see it from a mile away, and I'm going to hate every minute of it. I was thinking maybe Bray Wyatt can come out tonight, but then I said, nah, they're not going to waste them on tonight's pay-per-view. But whatever they did, I didn't see the tarp or the empty seats or people were focusing on that. I didn't care about that. The people who were there, I don't care if they angled it, that it looked full, it looked like a good crowd. Everyone said, there's nothing else to do in Tacoma. Well, tonight they had something to do. They watched wrestling, and they enjoyed it. It was a good crowd for Tacoma. I would give it a solid 7.
Yeah, the crowd was great. And let me tell you,
the crowd was very good.
When you're watching something from home and the crowd is into it too, it gives that little bit of a jolt. And even if it doesn't do anything for you, when the crowd live absolutely shits on something, see, you got to understand something. You know, when the crowd enjoys something, you're not going to voice over or dub over that crowd to make them enjoy something less. You want to always make your product come off as the most entertaining as possible. When you're an entertainment company, the idea is to entertain everyone. And unfortunately, when you misfire, and you misfire badly, where the crowd is shitting on everything, It is very, very difficult to double over all of that. So when you have a crowd reacting like the way that they did in the main event tonight, that trickles over to social media, and that floods social media. Now, everybody that did not watch live, that watches this match tomorrow, later in the week, a year from now, you're going to go back and watch this match, and with the exception of if you're a big Bayley fan, a Becky Lynch fan, and you like the Becky-Seth Rollins relationship being so public on TV, if you are not like a fan to that or you don't care about that, all you're left with is a god-awful, you know, match. I know they tried, but it was an awful match that the crowd just ripped to shreds, and you're left with watching that. Go back and you watch Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20 when they both left. Brock goes to football, Goldberg goes to retire, or whatever he was doing at the time. And you go back at that match, and if you never watched that match and you never knew nothing about it and you watched it with the volume off, you would say, you know what, it's not a bad match, it's not the worst match around, you know, the match was, you know, was nothing exciting about it, but the conclusion with Austin doing Stunner is fine, blah blah blah. But now you watch it with the volume up and the crowd eats it alive and spits it out and shits all over it. That's what you remember from that match. You don't remember anything from that match other than the fact that they were leaving and that it was WrestleMania and that the crowd hated it. Whenever that match is brought up, that's what they bring up. The crowd hated it. And all you're left with tonight, I don't care how much it advances the storyline of Seth and Becky as an item on TV, you, at the expense of pushing that part of the storyline, ruin the main event, prove even more why Baron Corbin should not be in that position, and that main event left everybody with a bad taste in their mouth. I don't care whose fucking arms were held up high in the ring, it left me with not a pleasant taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Any final thoughts before we call it?
Again, overall, not a bad pay-per-view. I came home almost angry that I had to rush home to watch it because I just thought it was not going to be good. And I was like, you know, WWE kind of slopped this together. But again, I was impressed with what they did. I don't care if they gave tickets away for free. Tomorrow we find out, 3-for-1, whatever they did, who knows. But whatever they did, it worked. It came off good on TV. The crowd was into it, who was there. And overall, a solid 7 because I really thought DT this was going to be, I agree with my brother Draper, but we both admit we were wrong. It was going to be the worst pay-per-view so far this year of WWE, and it was not.
No, it was a solid pay-per-view, and you know, it wasn't bad. I just, that main event just totally ruined the momentum that night had. But everybody who had their matches should be pretty proud. I mean, put it this way, no, you didn't feel like anybody winged it tonight.
No, I didn't at all. I felt it was, like I said, if to take the narrative away of everyone kind of shitting on it, they can't give tickets away. I mean, all week we've seen it. Every week it was unescapable. You know, detail, how are they going to fill this final hour? They can't even get half the building sold out. And,
you know, I know a lot of people say that, but, you know, if we didn't say it, then, you know.
No, I got you. No, I know we have, you know, we have our policies about what we buy into and what we don't, but it's hard to ignore what we're seeing, you know, because I'm like, wow, this is really caught fire that they can't give this away. That you literally thought they'd have people in the street giving tickets away to people on the highway.
There was no excitement leading into
the match. No, there wasn't. I agree.
The biggest buzz was who's going to be the referee.
Yeah, that was the biggest buzz.
Seriously, that was the biggest buzz. Who's going to be the referee? And then you gave us that. You know,
I mean, unless I'm a Lacey supporter, but she had a little bit of a rough go tonight, but she's finding a way. Some people are saying she should go back to NXT.
She didn't do bad. As a referee, she did not do bad.
She didn't do bad.
She was the victim of circumstance. Seth Rollins worked his ass off. Baron Corbin worked his ass off. No doubt about it. But just because you work your ass off doesn't mean you should be closing out pay-per-views, Raws, and being, you know, GM and the focal point and having 5 TV segments.
But DT, where does Seth Rollins go from here? Like, who's his next opponent?
They keep teasing the Brock Lesnar thing. You know, look, when you have in the past someone with a briefcase, That person would have feuds with other people, not just heavyweight title. Right. And every week now you have a tease from Paul Heyman about Brock cashing it in. So what that means is you keep leaving Brock Lesnar's name hovering over these wrestlers. And these wrestlers, in order for them to really, you know, push their storylines with whoever they're feuding, if Brock Lesnar's not going to be cashing it in anytime soon, you can't keep teasing that element over the people's heads because you get distracted. If you're trying to push Kofi against whoever, or you're trying to push Seth Rollins against whoever, you want fans to be as focused as possible on the two people in that feud, because you want to, the more focused you are, the more you may actually buy into something being decent. But when you're trying to focus in on it, and then you're constantly being interrupted with Brock might cash in, Kofi, we might cash in against you. And then what happens? You get distracted. You keep thinking, oh, you know, they're just going to keep milking time until Brock takes the title back because he's the only guy that seems to, you know, pop any ratings any time. And, you know, Seth now, you know, he's in, you know, part of the lowest ratings in the history of Raw and SmackDown. He's not. It's not his fault, but he represents WWE at this time. Like I said, everybody out there that doesn't, and I said this on Breakfast with Blasi, everybody out there that does not want to blame Seth Rollins or Kofi for the lowest ratings.
Or Becky.
Becky doesn't close out Raws or SmackDowns anymore, but Hour 3 and the focus on these guys, if you can't blame them, and you can't blame them for the low interest on pay-per-views, and you can't blame them for house shows being canceled, and you can't blame them for fucking empty arenas, well, then you can't blame Kevin Nash for 1995. You can't blame any one person. Unfortunately for Kevin Nash, he was always the figure, the focal, the representative for 1995. Oh, 95 sucked. Who was the champion at the time? That's what I did start doing my hotline in 97, only 2 years after that. And from 97 on, people used to say, wow, 95 sucked for the WWF. No wonder. Look who their champion was. That's what I heard for 20 years. All right. And now you're getting that again. And you can't blame Rollins. You can't blame Kofi. No, you shouldn't blame one person at any time.
Well, DT, wouldn't you say it's the same thing in Major League Baseball when a team's having a horrible season? You look back on the manager, and even if he was good, he is like he's the fucking fall guy when you really think about it. Yeah. Even if he didn't have the team to do what he needed to do. Right, it's like, oh, he was managing during that season. Ugh.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Yeah. When you have Major League Baseball, usually the reason why the manager gets fired is because the players lost too much. Yeah. In pro wrestling, you could be booked to win 100% of your matches. So your outcome has already been given for you. So look at Roman Reigns. Would the manager have been fired if Roman Reigns fucking headlined 3 or 4 WrestleManias, won 85% of his matches, and was main eventing every show? Why would the manager be fired for that? So I can't put the correlation, because in baseball, those losses really happened. The wins and losses here, it's entertainment.
Well, DT, you remember in the old days in the territories, like guys like Eddie Gilbert, Kevin Sullivan, Ernie Ladd and stuff, bookers used to get fired when the houses were down for booking the matches and the attendance was down. Remember, bookers used to come and go. Paul Heyman talked about it one time, that bookers were responsible for making the matches, and if the houses were down, they switched bookers. And they did it. How many times in WCW did that happen?
The problem is, back then, you had plenty of bookers to choose from, and people.
Yeah, true.
Now, you got WWE, and you have other feds as well. But again, you work for other feds, you're not going to get the income that you think you're going to get. I mean, if you can't even afford to pay wrestlers $500 or $1,000 to work your shows, how are you going to pay a booker a good amount of money? And even if they book, what are you going to... I should get paid top dollar. I sold out the 600-seat arena.
Right.
You know, I mean, back then you had 5, 6, 10,000 seats. I was just talking about it on the history show. You know, this is the anniversary. Jimmy Hart won the AWA Southern Heavyweight title, which was a farce. Jimmy Hart wasn't a wrestler, but they did this whole storyline with him feuding with Jerry Lawler. And the week later, when Jerry Lawler got Jimmy Hart again one-on-one, the attendance doubled. So what does that tell you?
What was that, DT, 35 years ago, 40 years
ago?
That
was 1981, I believe.
Wow.
It was either, I think it was either 79, no, it was 80, it's either 79 or 81. I think it was 80. Wow. It was
almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was around that time. It was, but yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
I remember that. I remember reading the wrestling magazines.
So, but everyone out there, let us know what you thought about the pay-per-view. And you and I will be back 24 hours from now.
Correct.
Now, do you want to start tomorrow at 11:15 or you want to start at 11?
Why don't we start right after Raw? Everyone seems to like it.
Everybody's,
Give me about 60 seconds. I'll be good to go right after Raw. Okay.
Yeah, so everybody hears this. You know, we'll definitely give everybody the heads up on Twitter as well. If you're going to tune in live Monday night, 11 p.m. sharp.
There you go.
All right, Kev. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Peace.
Later. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this recap. As always, follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD, the website DonTony.com. Excuse me. Email me, DonTony@DonTony.com. I'm losing my voice a little bit because I did like, what, 6 shows this week, and they weren't like 45-minute shows. They were a lot longer. And yesterday, with the history show, did a lot of talking and a lot of retakes because of interruptions over here. So I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit, but Patreon.com/DonTony, everyone. As little as $2, you could sign up and get some exclusive content there. And you help us tremendously with the expenses for everything that we do with these shows and to keep these free for a lot of people out there. So everyone be well. Now, we will return with your next pay-per-view recap 3 weeks from today, which will be Extreme Rules, and that will be July 14th? Is it July 4th? Yeah, July 14th. Wow, it's 3 weeks away. Yes. So Sunday, July 14th, we'll be back with Extreme Rules. And everyone, I am out of here. Take care. Be well. Ciao.